There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And our phone number here, 855-853-4802. Share your real ghost story with us. You can, of course, write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click on Tell Us Your Ghost Story, or you can email me your audio file of your ghost story. If it's recorded on your mobile device, you can send that over to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. There you go. Lots of ghost stories to share today. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And I should say this. We got a chance to finally go and check out a place that we've gotten a lot of stories about here on the show. What's it called?
Eureka Springs.
Eureka Springs. But
Arkansas.
What's the hotel?
The Crescent Hotel.
The Crescent Hotel, yeah. Because we've gotten a lot of people who stayed there, worked there a lot. I mean, I can't even remember. I mean, I just know like over the years they've just kind of like trickled in here and there, but it's been one of those hot spots.
Right.
And a lot of people say, have you been there? Have you checked out Eureka Springs itself yet?
Mm-hmm.
Finally did this last weekend because it's only like an hour away. And I just was blown away.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a town that truly embraces ghostly things. And I love that. I mean, it's understated, but it's stated. It's not like overstated. I would say, like, for example, Savannah, I think, almost overstates the ghost stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they take it a step beyond just embracing the tourism that's brought in from it.
Yeah, or New Orleans sometimes overstates the ghost stuff. It's cool, it's neat, but sometimes it's like, this is probably more. This is just like you kind of walk through the town and you're like, oh, they have like skeleton stuff here and it's not Halloween anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very neatly done. You can not even care about ghosts and still love the town and not feel really creeped out.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly do get a vibe there that that place has got some history.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So anyway, that was exciting. And we were only there for like an hour or two, just kind of driving through town just to see it. But I definitely want to go back and check out more stuff. I know we have some listeners there.
Yeah. And I was going to say it was very much a spur of the moment. We've got to come back from Rogers, Arkansas. Let's just stop off there for a little while. So otherwise we would have reached out to some of our listeners there.
Yeah.
And, said, hey, we're going to be in town, but we didn't know we were going to be in town.
Yeah, since we walked through the town, took a hike up a big hill. That was a lot of fun.
That was not a good idea.
Well, the town itself is on, it's like the shopping areas, or the downtown, if you will, is almost three layers, because it's literally on the side of a mountain.
Yeah.
So it's in layers, and the street kind of winds very widely across this mountain, and then you have your shops on both sides. And we got down to the end of this one, and I thought that there was going to be a road or a stair, because I did see some people at the end of this thing head up that way. I thought, oh, there must be a stairway down that way, so let's just walk down here and we get there.
Now, I didn't see anybody. Are you sure you saw people?
I did. I'm that's why I kept going.
Because I didn't see anybody. There was nobody that went up that hill.
I swear to God, I saw people.
There was nobody that went up that hill, Tony.
I saw people go out. That's why I kept going. Nobody was there. I'm not kidding. I'm not either.
I thought that was the dumbest idea we've ever had, to climb this stupid ass hill your overweight asthmatic wife is dying behind you.
I was carrying the child.
Yeah.
And I was pretty out of it by the time we got to the top as well. But I swear I saw, we were quite, I don't know, probably about a block away, if you were to say in block form, mm-hmm. from where the this area was. And we get down about a block away. I saw it looked like two people went up that way. And I just assumed trail, because there was other areas in the town where there's just kind of like little odd trails or stairwells that kind of wind their way up. So I just assumed at the end of this thing was another one of those. And we get down there and there's like an abandoned stairway in the woods that goes to nowhere. It looked like it might have been a foundation or something mm-hmm. at some point. And I thought, well, maybe they went up there. Or there's this other area that looked like, I mean, it was a trail of some sort. Probably for people that are much more physically fit than we are.
Yeah.
But it was a path. Just not for us.
I think it was an animal path.
Do you think it was an animal path?
I think it was an animal path.
Okay.
Like a deer path.
Could have been.
It was the albino squirrel that we both saw.
We did. We saw squirrel. And we...
No, I mean, by the time, if there had been somebody ahead of us, by the time we would have gotten down to where they went up, they'd still be going up that hill, because that was not just an easy trek.
Then maybe I saw a ghost stand out, and we're just realizing this as we're doing the show. And I'm
something
not even I'm not...
trying to kill me by getting you to go up this hill and knowing that I'm not going to stay at the bottom of this creepy town by myself, and I'm going to follow you up this hill.
I don't know. But that is the only reason I kept going down there, was because I saw it looked too, one person like a bluish jacket on, it looked like.
Maybe they were just bluish, period.
I don't know. I didn't get a good look at them because they were like a little ways away. But from what I could tell, it looked like somebody had a blue jacket on, and someone I think was either in a white jacket or white. There was white involved in the outfit. I don't know, pants or something, but it looked like there was two people that went up that way.
Okay.
I don't know.
You saw something.
Maybe I did.
I think you did.
Well, that's creepy.
Yeah.
It was an interesting area with the stairwell there.
Yeah, right. Maybe there were stairs and they were still taking stairs that are no longer there.
Well, that's new and exciting. We just had a revelation here on the show.
Nobody was ahead of us. And I was wondering, why the hell did you decide to just take this nature hike in the middle of this town?
We have a ghostly... This turned into a ghost story without it intending to be turning into a ghost story.
I didn't know you saw anybody.
Yeah, that's why I kept going.
No, there was nobody there. And I was like, there's not... This doesn't go anywhere. It's going to go to somebody's backyard.
Well, there you go.
All right, there you go.
855-853-4802. That's creepy. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Good evening, Brewskis. This is Terry from Texas again. I have a short story for you about a small country church I know of up in central Texas, outside of Bryan College Station. It's fairly off the road, if you can say that. It's back in the country. There is a nice farm to market type road that goes in front of the church, and on the other side of the roadway is a cemetery. Now, the cemetery, as I remember it, and I could be wrong, but as I remember it, was an odd shape, like a triangle. But the church, you know, is reflective of the time it was built. It's a wooden church, a nice little place, well kept. Very active church members, and the cemetery is not overgrown, it's not neglected, it's well taken care of too. But the pastor who was there at the time, we had a conference there of college students, and the pastor was telling us that at nights when he was there alone, he was unmarried, at nights when he was there alone, he would hear babies crying. And it would be coming from across the street at the cemetery. And he told us the story of one time he heard someone creeping around the church building. I don't know if it was inside or outside, but he heard someone creeping around and grabbed his shotgun. He grabbed his shotgun and went searching for whoever it was. It was that was a plain cat burglar type individual. But said when he was outside, he heard the babies crying from across the street. And I don't know that they ever went in and did any kind of investigation, but said there were, he did go into the cemetery, of course, at times in the daytime, and he said there were baby graves at the back of the cemetery. So this was just something that they would hear out in the deal. Now, we were there for the conference, and we spent the night. We didn't hear them, but there were other noises, you know, tree frogs and crickets and katydids and all kinds of other bugs, but we did not hear the babies crying that night. But he said it happened quite regularly when he was there alone. So, just a story I wanted to share. Thanks for listening. Bye.
I think the noises from the cemetery, whether they are ghostly or if they can be explained from an animal, either way, it's super creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm assuming that it's not an animal because I think it would have been scared off by him coming out there and kind of looking for it.
Yeah, I mean, the animals that make those sort of noises, they make them when they're not being disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
And then once disturbed, you're exactly right. They tend to, it tends to dissipate and they scurry away. And then it's still further off in the distance, which makes it kind of even creepier.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why? That's usually going to be an animal then.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one of the last things you want to hear in the dark by a cemetery, you know, late at night.
Sure.
The sound of babies crying.
Well, that, and you always wonder, you know, with it being a church, did somebody drop a child off
mm-hmm.
and leave?
Yeah.
You know?
And then you're trying to find where is this
right.
child, you
mm-hmm.
know? Yeah. That's a good story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Hi, guys. I wanted to call in with my experiences because I've just started listening and I've been listening through the backlog and I don't actually think I've heard any British people call up, and I thought it might be nice for you to have a story or something from somebody from across the pond. So I've always been very sensitive. Even when I was a kid, my mum would hear me like laughing and talking to somebody in the room, and she would ask me who I was talking to, and I would say, oh, that man over there. And I was never scared or anything, so she just sort of let me get on with it. As I've grown up, I've had very, very strange dreams with people who have passed on, and I've had conversations with them. But the main part of my story is from about 7 or 8 years ago now, when I was in my really early 20s. After I finished university, I moved away to Canada. And while I was over there, all three of my remaining grandparents passed away. I was over there for about 2 years and they all passed away within about 6 months of each other, which was horrible and is something that I have always felt guilty about, just not being here and not really being able to say bye properly. And I'm a very, I always feel guilty about everything anyway. That's sort of part of my personality, I guess. Very anxious, person, but guilt is my sort of main thing. I always feel terrible about everything. So I moved back to the UK and I met a boy who is now my husband, but we moved in together and we bought a really nice little house together. And I guess sort of like once a week I would still just sort of think about my grandparents and get really emotional. I think because I never got to go to the funerals, I never got to say bye properly, and don't think I felt like anything had ever been resolved. And so I remember one day going upstairs and going into the back bedroom of our house and just bursting into tears because the room smelt exactly like my Nanan's flat. I guess you guys would say apartment. We call them a flat. Smelled exactly like it. And you know what smell is like for memories and stuff. It just sort of like triggers it. And I just really, really felt like she was there. And it was just very, very strange. And I just felt very emotional that day. And then all of this happened around the same time. I can't remember if this was the same night. I don't think it was. I think it was sort of like a few days later or maybe a week later. I'd had dreams with all of my grandparents in, but more specifically my Nanan. Just sort of like I knew she was in the room. I'd sort of wake up like paralyzed, sleep paralyzed. I know she was there, but it wasn't anything scary. It was just a bit weird. So you feel scared, I think, because it's not normal. And so I just felt a little bit weird about the whole thing, but nothing sort of like, it wasn't terrifying. I mean, you know, I know she loves me and I love her. So it wasn't anything weird. I was just sort of like, why are you here and not doing anything, just sort of being in the room? And then the final sort of point of the story, I guess, is I went to sleep one night and I woke up and I was sleep paralyzed and just so cold. Like I don't know if anybody else has ever described it this way, but for me, whenever I was having any kind of paranormal experience in my sleep, my head and especially my neck would just always be freezing cold to the point where it sort of like almost feels numb. And then once it's over, I would feel all the blood rushing back into my head and my brain, it almost felt like. But I remember sort of waking up and feeling this like numb feeling and sort of knowing that, oh gosh, something's going to happen. And then it was the most bizarre thing. It was unlike any other time. My Nana was there. She was 100% there. But she wasn't in the room. I don't know how else to describe it other than it just felt like she was in the front of my head, but like inside. It was like she was inside my head, right at the front of my head, and I could see her. It was like she was inside, but outside. I don't know how else to explain it. It's very, 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 very strange. And she just sort of said, "That's enough now. That's enough." And I knew that she meant like that she'd had enough of me feeling bad about it. There was nothing to feel bad about. You know, that was the way things were, and you need to stop beating yourself up about it. And she was like, "That's enough. That's stop it now. Stop it." And I was just like, and then it just was over and it disappeared. And I was just like, wow, okay, I guess, you know, you never met her, but I did. And she told you to do something, you blum well did it. And after, from that point onwards, I've never had another, I've had other experiences, which maybe I'll ring you guys again or email you with those stories. But I've never had anything again with any of my grandparents. So that was really, really, really nice. It was actually very comforting and made me feel a lot better. So yeah, like I said, I've always been very, very sensitive to these kinds of things. I remember once going into a tarot shop, you know, the kind of shop that sells like cards and just readings and stuff. And as soon as I walked in, the lady just looked at me. She was like, "Oh, wow, you're an open book, aren't you?" And I was just like, "I think so, maybe, I guess." And after my grandparents died, I had a really, really strange dream where all my family were in one room and my grandparents were in another room next door, and there was a door that connected the two rooms, and I was the only person who could go backwards and forwards, and I was going in and having conversations with one side and going through and passing it over to the other and then going through and handing messages back. So like I said, I think I'm just very open to this kind of thing because I've never really been scared of it. But yeah, so it was actually, this was a really nice thing, but I have had some other ones which maybe I'll bring you guys back with and tell you about another time. Love listening and love hearing that other people have similar things happen to them. It's actually really nice to know that it's just sort of something that happens, and the way you guys sort of discuss it with just completely no judgment or anything like that, I think is really wonderful. So carry on doing what you're doing, and I'll talk to you again soon, hopefully. Bye.
Do you think ghosts and spirits and dead loved ones have any ability to control our emotions. And where I'm going with that is the way that the grandmother told her to stop it, and like that, it was gone. Like all of her mourning was done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it can work the other way too, where bad spirits can make you feel worse.
It's an interesting thought, because I mean, I was wondering about that kind of in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
When we were hearing that, it kind of reminded me of, you know, just sometimes someone saying, stop worrying, or just don't worry. And that usually doesn't help someone mm-hmm. with anxiety to just stop worrying. But, you know, that's kind of the parental thing mm-hmm. that's done. And I'm just thinking, like, in the afterlife, if my mom were to show up, stop worrying. You know,
yeah.
It would be just like in real life where it's like, that's not going to change anything,
right.
You know, but to your point though, in this story, it almost did.
Mm-hmm.
It actually did alleviate that. So that's where it goes a step further of what you said, actually controlling the emotion, not just giving a directive.
And there have been several other stories where they being our listeners, have had some sort of dream or visitation or whatever the circumstance was with their loved one, and the loved one says, don't be upset anymore, and they feel like completely at peace.
Yeah.
And it's just like they have been released from that mourning period.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me wonder, is that just simply a very definitive closure, or is there something more to it to where they're like, no, you're not going to do this anymore?
Well, it what's odd to me is that in this case here, she said that she's someone who you know, is anxious, she's worried, she feels guilty and all that. Just, you know, having this suggestion usually doesn't change that.
Exactly.
It's almost like it's a hard closure
mm-hmm.
that she may not even, you know, it's like having an epiphany, you mm-hmm. know, of some sort when you're trying to work through something. It's almost like that happened, but it happened on a subconscious level.
Yeah.
With some assistance from the other side.
Because I was relating to her and I was thinking, how would I be, even if somebody came in my dream and said, don't be sad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to be sad.
Sure.
Because it sounds like her personality and mine are very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, that's just very odd
yeah.
that something would make it stop like that.
That's the, yeah. That's the strange part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing that story.
Yeah.
That's a fun one to talk about. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here. Every real ghost stories online. This music, it sounds kind of like there's a bog or something. There's a little bit of water.
Bubbling, yeah.
Bubbling in the background. Well, this is the first time our regular audience is hearing our new music sounds, if you will.
I like it.
It kind of reminds me of... when you're at the Kmart and back in the day, and they had, you know, the CDs
mm-hmm.
and you press the button for the sounds of nature.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Gothic Lake. And then you go and like keep pressing all of me. It just keeps going to different things. And then somehow for some random bizarro reason, you'd have like all of the nature sounds. And then for some ungodly reason, there's like a cut in there from Donny Osmond's Greatest Hits. It's like, why is this on the nature sound box?
This particular part with like the like drowning frog sound in the background
sounds like Donny Osmond's Greatest Hits.
No, I was thinking it reminds me of one of Jesus's stories where he's at the lake and the zombie kind of comes out of the water.
Yeah, I remember that one.
It just makes me think of that story.
It does. It really does. Well, anyway, the other day I put together a whole bunch of new, you know, creepy background drony stuff for the show, and it's just on like a 30-minute loop. So we have some more drones to listen to.
It's better than the one that just sounds like a giant
yeah.
fan.
It's a little more variety.
Yeah.
It's today's best variety of creepy sounds for your workday. For the Valley, a fresher mix of sounds of death.
Okay, that's great.
There you go. Let's go to Anna. Hi.
Hi, my name is Anna. I'm not an EPP member yet, but I hope to be here soon. I love your all show. And yeah, so back in 2013, my grandmother passed away 2 weeks after my grandpa. It was a terrible time in our family. A lot of stress was going on. My sister was a freshman in college at the time. Ended up having to drop out because we live in Kentucky, and where my grandparents lived at the time, it was in Virginia. And we were there all the time, and we're dealing with all this death and stuff and what to do with all the property down there and everything. It was just a really sad and like tough time on the family. And I was a sophomore in high school at the time, 16. And the year leading up to their deaths, I spent a lot of time at their house and everything. And my grandma, I think she knew it was coming because she talked about like what she wanted all the time. And like when she passed, like she was like, I want you to know this. And like, I want this jewelry to go here and all this stuff. My grandpa was more distant, like thought he was immortal, I suppose. But yeah, and so it was really hard on our family. And before she'd passed away, since we were getting so close and she was telling me all this stuff that she wanted for after her death, I was like exploring and looking up information and stuff about the paranormal world. I just wanted to know more about it as much as I could. I'd been really interested in it since the eighth grade, and I'd just been researching a lot of it and everything. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And so we were sitting in the kitchen one day, and it was right after the Batman movie shooting happened. And do you remember, like, it was back in, I don't remember the state or, but like, it was like back after the Batman shooting happened, and we were sitting in the kitchen, and we were just talking about how tragic it was and how, that we just couldn't wrap our minds around how people get that way and everything. And I started to get into, like, posts, like, the deaths of, like, the people in there, and I was like, I wonder, like, what their family wanted to say to them before they had lost them and everything. And I was like, Grandma, like, if you can visit me after you leave this world, I would love for you to do so. And I was like, that has to be when I'm ready. But I was like, I really want you to do so. And she was like, oh, no, I won't. Blah, blah. And I was like, Grandma, please. Like, we really got into it, and she said that she would. So right before she passed, it was my grandpa passed away on the 25th of February, and then March 11th, my grandma passed away. And, like, so much had happened. Like, oh, like, it was all the time just stress. And, like, the week after my grandpa passed away, we found out that my grandma had two different types of cancer, and then that next week she passed away. And it was, oh, just a terrible time in our family. And so a lot of depression happened, and everybody just kind of stuck on their own. And I'd, like, really boxed myself off and everything, and I was like, if Grandma's going to come visit me, I don't want her to yet because I really don't know what to do. And I got into this terrible, terrible relationship with a person that I knew was trouble, but, like, I was like, no, I'll be all right. And it didn't end until my freshman year of college, which was last year. I'm a sophomore now. And he went crazy, the boy that I was seeing at the time. And, like, after we'd broken up, this was back in, well, this time last year we'd broken up, he just went, like, you know, you're the only person in my life, and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And he was like, you have to be there. And so I was like, no, I really can't. I'm really, really not feeling this. And so he started to stalk me, and, like, I had to get a restraining order and all this stuff. Anyways, he tried to break in to my parents' house one night, and I was there, and I was awake. I was in my parents' room, actually, and my dad was in the shower, like, in the, like, master bedroom, but, like, it's, like, way down, and I was watching TV, and so it was just the two of us at the house, and my mom was coming home from work. She's a nurse, and so we were just hanging out and everything, and I heard the front door open, and, like, I, like, just froze, because I was like, no one should be coming in the house right now. And, like, we live way out in the country, and so we usually keep the door unlocked all the time, because, well, burglaries just really don't happen out here and everything. And so I was like, something's not right. And I could hear, I didn't know it was him at the time, but it was in the back of my head. I was like, it's probably him, blah, blah, blah. I could hear someone walking around, and I knew it was him, but like I didn't want to believe it, and so I was just frozen, and I was really scared that he was there to hurt me, and he may have been, but like he ended up not. Anyways, I couldn't say anything. I was scared speechless, and I was just laying there, and I had my phone with me, and I was messaging my mom, and I'm like, Mom, someone's in the house right now, blah, 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 everything. She was like, no, you're being crazy. I'm like, Mom, I can't do anything. I'm like, I'm crying, but like, I'm crying silently, and I'm like sweating, and my heart's pounding as hard as it can and everything. And, it was quite a time. And, anyways, he ended up like somehow not going in the back master bedroom and everything, but I did find out later that it was him. My neighbors saw his car and everything and all that stuff, but I was so sure that he was there to hurt me and everything, and I was like just scared for my life and everything, and I was so shaken up, and by the time my dad got out of the shower and everything, like had his pajamas on and came out, he was like, what's going on? Because I'm just in tears, crying silently on the bed, like shaking, and my heart's pounding and everything. And he was freaking out, and they were freaking out. And we had to get the cops involved and everything. But that night I went to sleep, and I like cried myself to sleep because I was like, I cannot believe that this is my life now. And cried myself to sleep, and I had this such a vivid dream. And my grandmother, and she was like, I protected you today. And she was like, and like, I hadn't, like, because of everything that had happened in my life with this boy, I hadn't even had my grandma on my mind at this time. And I was like, she sat me down in my dream, and she was like, I just want you to know that, like, I protected you today. He didn't come in the back room, because I shielded that off, like he couldn't get back there to you and everything. And it was such an emotional time, and like we were looking out at the mountains at her old house that they used to live in, and like it was such an emotional time, and I really felt that I was there in her life. And like I was talking to her about like what heaven was like, and like she was giving me honest answers and everything, and I woke up, and like I thought grandma was alive, like that's how real the feeling was and everything. And then like everything came back to me, and I just had this overwhelming peace that everything was going to be okay. And yeah, and so that's my story. I'm sorry it took so long, but I just wanted to call in. I have some other ones that I will call in sometime and talk about, but thank you for listening. That was a long one. I didn't mean for it to carry on so long. Have a great day, and yeah, bye.
I would love to know from the intruder's standpoint what it was that made him not go back there. Thankfully, he didn't, but, you know, did he see something that scared him and he left, or did some overwhelming feeling of dread come upon him? You know, because it's kind of odd that he came so far into the house and searched around, but he didn't search the entire house.
Oftentimes, someone that has the mindset to go that far to get into mm-hmm. a home, to break in, there's not a whole lot that's stopping them.
Right.
In the reality sense, other than maybe a weapon pointed directly at them
mm-hmm.
Or an animal or something that's going to really threaten their security, because they've already written off the laws and the norms and what's acceptable.
Judgment is gone.
Yeah, to go to the point where they went. So it would take really a sense, you know, fight or flight at that point to make them turn around. And I'm assuming dog and gun were probably not the turning around factors there. You'd have to think ghost grandma.
Yeah.
Might have been the answer to that. So how would you handle it if grandkids right before your dad, you know, hey, you promised to come back after because we're probably going to have grandkids that do that.
You know, I think I would probably just say, if I can, I will.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't, you know, don't hold your breath. You know, I don't know if I can or not.
And don't hold your breath has three different meanings to it.
No, I just mean, you know, don't think I don't, like, I'm done with you little grand brats. I'm mm-hmm. not thinking that. It's more so, if I can, I will.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it'd be an interesting conversation. I'd be all about it. I'd be like, yes, if I can, yes.
Yeah, but I don't want to get Timmy's hopes up.
And you're going to regret it for asking me that.
And I'm going to be the worst grandmother ever if I don't come back from the dead to say hi. You know?
That's what they're going to, that's what they'll be upset about. I mean, yeah. At that point.
Especially like if they're anything like Harper's kids or Livy's kids, either mm-hmm. one, because they're so literal. Those two kids are so literal. Mm-hmm. Literal. I'm sure their kids are going to be the same way. And mm-hmm. they're going to be like, Grandma hated us because she didn't come back as a ghost.
And they'll be in therapy for that. They'll,
yeah.
That'll be the, and they'll be like, why do you, what? Why? What? 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, I'm calling in. I just started listening to your podcast, and I'm a huge fan already. I have two stories that I will try to tell as quickly as I can, but also include all the details. These are two stories of friends of mine that are close friends and are very reliable. I just thought these were, when they told these to me, they fascinated me, and I just think it's one of those things that I really wanted to share. So the first story is we were actually out to dinner with some friends, and the topic of the paranormal came up, and our friend's wife looked at him and said, tell them about your ex in that house that you guys used to live in. And he goes, yeah, well, his this goes back about 15 or so years because currently their son is in college. So when, and this is not, that would be our friend's stepson, the woman, and then our the man is the father of this boy. So with his ex, he lived in this, they bought this house, and it was an old home with a barn. They knocked it down, and they rebuilt a home on it. They put a pond and an in-ground pool. The son had a bedroom, and the knob was not on the closet door when they moved in because it was a brand-new home, and there was a couple things that were unfinished. And he began to complain and cry at night, and they said he was like six at the time. And they said they attributed that to him being, you know, adjusting to a new home and a new bedroom. But he kept saying the man was staring at him and things like that. They thought he was having bad dreams. Also, he said at this time, a vase fell off their mantle and smashed all over the floor. They also said that their doorbell would ring a lot, and they would go to the door and no one would be there. But other than that, not much else. So fast forward to him, our friend and his ex were getting a divorce. They sold the house. They were moving out. He was staying there the last couple nights to get the last of the stuff out. The movers had moved all the big furniture and were coming back the next day to get the rest of the bedroom stuff. And his son, who at that time was in college now, the one that was talking about the doorknob and the scary man, he was helping his dad. And at about 11 o'clock, he said, I got to get back to school. I got some work I still have to do. And his dad walked him out. And they were talking, and they heard a crash in the upstairs of the bedroom where that kid's bedroom used to be. And they ran up, and there had been a table fan in the middle of the bed that they had laid to pack. And it was standing upright in the room, he said, with the cord pulled into the closet in a straight line. The first thing is the fan, if it fell off the bed, would have just fallen over and been, like, next to the bed. This was in the middle of the room, upright. This is what my friend said. He was there. He saw it. He was, and I said, what? And then his son, on top of it, who saw it, goes, I told you there's a creepy man in that closet. And I was, like, saying to my friend, what were you thinking? And he's like, I was dumbfounded. I didn't even, it's like you see it, and you know it's there, and you know that you're looking at it, but you still are like, that's impossible. They found out later, apparently, that a man who had lived on the property, remember I said they knocked everything down, had committed suicide in the garage. And the garage was located in about the same area that his son's bedroom closet was. So that explains maybe what, I mean, I don't know if that's what it was or if it's the same thing, but they did find that out. The other story I have is from friends of ours that we've been very good friends with for many years. They actually used to run an old theater. It used to show movies, but they decided to use it to showcase up-and-coming rock bands. And they would have shows there every weekend. They lived above the theater. The first thing my friend said she noticed was, you know, in old theaters, how those chairs, like the seats go upward. they would notice when they would look out that some of the seats would be down, and they would just think they're broken. You know, it's old, it's an old theater, you know, we have to just, you know, they would bring the tools to fix them. Well, they weren't broken. So they thought that was weird, but nothing yet. Then they said the voices in the theater area where the stage was started, and they said these were definitely distinctive, different voices. It wasn't one voice. It was like, they even made nicknames up for them. They would say one sounded angry, one was like a joker, one was like would just talk really quickly, one would be like a woman. And it was just weird because they, and I said, what did they say? And she goes, you couldn't even understand what they said. You could just understand if one was angry, if one was, you could tell that, but you couldn't tell what they said. And they would overlap, but you could tell that they were different. Well, when the bands that would perform there would find out about it, they'd be like, let us sleep on the stage. They would try to sleep over, and they would lay on the stage. Because that, my friend said you could really hear the voices if you put your ear to the stage. No band made it through the night. All of them laughed about it at first and were like, oh, sure, leave us alone. They all ran it. They would all go, yep, we're out of here. They didn't like it. My friend said up in their apartment, which was above the theater, she said she was taking a shower one time, and it's a glass shower, and she just said all of a sudden it was as if someone ran up to the shower door and just slapped their hand on the shower door and made a loud noise. And she thought it was her husband, so she was like, great. So she was going to yell at him, and she opened the door, except she realized the bathroom door was locked from the inside. He couldn't have. And on top of it, when she went out there, out of the bathroom, she saw a note on the kitchen table. He had left to run errands. So he, and the house alarm was on. So she just said, I said, oh my God. And she's like, I just stood there and I was scared. And she knew it couldn't have been human, because she's like, no one would have been, the alarm would have gone off. The alarm would have been, and even if she didn't hear it in the shower, when you go out, you would see that on the panel that it had been tripped. So the final thing that she said, like, they said other things happened, like littler things, but this is the one that just gets me. So in the lobby of the theater, it was like a Saturday, they were going to go do some errands to get ready for that night's show. And the theater is not open during the day. No one else works there because they couldn't afford really to have too many other employees. Like, her husband's father and brother would help out, and they were just, you know, young and starting out and trying to do this. So there were no other people that had access. That's my point in saying that. My friend said to her husband, I'm just going to use the restroom before we go. And this was like a public restroom that was located in the lobby of the theater. She said she went in and sat down in one of the stalls, and she just said, I got the intense feeling to get the hell out of there. And I did ask her, I go, well, did you hear something? Did you see something? And she goes, no, I didn't hear or see anything, but I just knew to get out. So she exits the bathroom, and her husband's like, what? And she goes, we just need to get out of there. And he wasn't willing to do that. So he's like, he's trying to go in the bathroom. He can't move the door. Like, it's one of those doors that, like, swings open and shut, like a public restroom door often does. He can't push it open. And he was a football linebacker. He's, like, in high school. So he's sitting there, like, you know, he's not a little guy. He's strong. And he goes, it wasn't budging. So they end up leaving. You know, they already know there's weird things that have been going on. They come back 2 hours later, walk in, the door is wide open with the door stopper on it. I still, that one, like, these are not, I mean, and again, I know you're probably, I've known these people for years, they're not weird, it's just something that, and they said they have since moved on, they bought a home, moved away from that place, and they've had, none of these people have had any further paranormal activity in their life, only in those places. Those are the two that just really stood out to me. I've heard other stories from people, but they're just not as interesting and as colorful to me as those are. I don't know what to think, or I have no idea, but I just thought I had to share those. Thinking of a fan cord being pulled into a closet that looked like, you know, somebody was in it is just, I would have run out of the house. I said to him, I don't know how you stood there. I would have been out of there. But, you know, I guess it is what it is. But he said he wasn't that scared. He was more like mystified. And that's from the first one. And then I asked my friend, the one that had the theater, I'm like, why did you guys stay? And she's like, well, part of it was money. And she goes, the other part was, it was hard to believe. Again, the same answer. Like, you see it happening, but you're going, you try to make up excuses. Like, you try to make up a reason, or that must have happened because of that. But sooner or later, like after that theater one, they knew they heard voices. They knew whatever. And they said someone did buy the theater, and it's still there. I don't know that it's used the same way, but it still stands. And they go by it sometimes, but she's like, I often wonder if the new owners, you know, she hasn't heard anything. There's been nothing, you know, no publicity on it or anything. But so anyway, thank you very much for listening, and keep doing your show. I love it, and listening, new fan, and also happy almost Halloween. Bye.
I don't know why, but those stories just creeped me out. I mean, considering all the stories we listen to,
mm-hmm.
I think it's just the fact that it could, you know, it could happen to you. And it's not a warm, fuzzy grandparent story like we've had several recently.
Yeah.
It's just very much a, and it's not only it could happen to you, because it's just very matter of fact, this is what happened, but more so like, I'm going to show you, the ghost is like, I'm going to show you that there's something going on. I'm not just going to leave you thinking maybe there is. It's like, mm-hmm. nope. Not only am I not going to let you in, but when you come back, the door's going to be open with the doorstop.
Yeah. And it really, I think, too, the fact that it takes place in just such a, like a relatable setting.
Yeah.
Places we've all been to and places we've all kind of felt a little creepy at, too. You know, like at the theaters,
yeah.
and things of that nature. It's like you feel that in a lot of those places. But a lot of times, you know, unless you do a ghost show for a living, you probably don't hear a lot of the stories about them. That and just that, you know, kind of like she said, these are not people who are out there or that are seeking attention. It's just, these are just normal people. And this is the experience that they relate. And that's that.
I know.
How do you explain it? There's something to it.
It's just funny. Out of all the stories, those probably creep me out some of the most.
Sometimes it's where you least expect them to be, where you get the creepiest ones. Thank you for sharing that that story with us. We do appreciate that. 855-853-4802. Of course, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's episode of the show. Hey, if you like what we got going on here at Real Ghost Stories Online, consider becoming an EPP Extra Podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus material, all the bonus episodes, well, the bonus video content. You got an option to go month to month. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for a full year, get one of those months free, and you can claim a bunk bed bell. And if you're a follower of the show for any time, you know what that's all about. There's a lot of ghost bunk bed stories, and every time we have that, we ring our bunk bed bell. So you can get one, too, if you sign up for a yearly membership. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. That's our main source of funding the show and keeping it on the air. So please do help support the show and allow us to continue doing this thing at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.